worship session. How many of you guys know worship is so powerful? It's like you can come in and the moment you start worshiping, some things are able to break off of you. Worship is one of the powerful strategies and tools. All right, we want to go ahead and also just give praise to God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We want to say thank you that He got us here this morning. We want to say thank you for fellowship and communion. He is a strong tower. He's a good father, a good shepherd, my best friend. And so we give Him the praise, the glory, and the honor this morning. And so I have a message from the Lord that I want to talk to you guys. It is still Women's History Month, and so they have given me... Oh, also, thank you to Reek for believing in me, encouraging me, allowing me the opportunity to come up here and speak to you guys this morning. And so we'll go ahead and just say, God, have your way. Allow your presence to fall fresh in this place. We thank you for the atmosphere, but we can feel your presence in here, Father God. We ask that it would be less of me and more of you, Father God, that you would get the glory, the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And so for this message, with it being Women's History Month, I wanted to pull from Luke 1, verse 26, if you guys can go ahead and turn there. I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. God is good. Hallelujah. All right. So Luke 1, starting at verse 26 through 38, we're going to go down. And I guess I want to title this message. What would I title it? Woman of God, get in position. That's the message for today. And so it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy... Also, we're reading from the NLT version, by the way. Well, I will be reading from the NLT version. But it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true." And then the angel left her. And so I get so excited when I read that for two reasons. I want to say reason one is that is such an iconic moment in history. It is a turning point in history where we understand that the Messiah, the promise, the long-awaited promise that all of the prophets had prophesied, and now it is time that the Messiah is about to come into the world. And so we know that transition alone, it's the thing that allows us to be here together in this room right now, to come as one body under this roof and to praise Him. And another reason that scripture is also super important to me is because it also shows that us women today, play a huge role in the purposes and the will of God. And so let's go ahead and break that text down. So we're going to go back up. Let's do it here. Verse 28, where Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." I want to go ahead and talk from the point of take up your position. I like the fact that the first thing that the angel Gabriel said to her is, greetings, favored woman. He spoke to her identity in that moment, which a lot of times, if we can be honest, if we look at where she's from Nazareth, it's known to be a place of insignificance. But when he came to her, he had to first speak life into her. And so I want to go ahead and speak life into every woman in this building under the sound of my voice, that you are favored, that the favor of God is upon your life and he is with you. And that is a promise that he gives us, that he will never leave nor forsaken us. And so we can hold that in our heart, that it's not about feelings. It's not about what it looks like right now, but the fact that God is with us and that you are a favored woman of God. And so, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean, because if we can be honest, sometimes when it comes to fulfilling our purpose and our call on this earth, we don't always know if we have what it takes. We don't always know exactly what God wants us to do. But when the angel appeared to her, like I said, he said, "Favored woman, the Lord is with you, and do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." And so I'm talking to you about your identity in this moment. We understand that when we came into this walk with Christ, we put off the old man to put onto the new man, that we are actually blessed, that we are favored, that God is with us. Amen. Let me see here. I also want to go ahead and confirm the fact that God knows something about you that you don't necessarily know about yourself. And so when the Lord speaks to you, he's not going to always speak concerning your circumstances or where you are or the identity that you have taken on in this world, but he sees something greater in you. He has placed something significant in you. And so when he speaks to those things, sometimes it can sound confusing, because she's just from Nazareth. I'm just from Maryland. How could somebody like me have favor with the Lord? How can somebody like me be called for something greater than what I once thought was possible for myself? And so we have to begin to change the way that we see ourselves. We have to begin to change the narrative in which we speak. And if I can go ahead and be honest, I was really nervous for this. I was like, okay, God. And I found myself in a position where I had to make a decision that I was going to step in the identity of which Christ called me. And so I found myself when I was praying for this, I said, God, you know, I need you. I can't do this without you. I need you to give a word to me. I need you to be there with me. And the Holy Spirit checked me and he said, you're going to have to change your language. It's no longer about being a beggar, but you have to step into the call. And the first part of your call is understanding that you are a woman and a daughter of God. And so when I changed my language, amen, when I changed my language and I stepped into the position of a daughter, it was no longer about being a beggar. Lord God, please be with me, but I am capable. I am able, for he is greater. I am able because of the spirit that dwells on the inside of me. I am able because he can do all things, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So do you see the transition? One went from a place of begging, wondering, God, if this is possible, will you do it? But when you're a daughter of God, you have to understand your rights. You have to understand the inheritance that you actually have, that you have access to God, that he cares for you. There's an immense amount of love. There's an immense amount of power that's over your life. And so I had to step out of the place of begging and saying that it is possible. I am capable. I am able because of the Lord who's with me. He strengthens me and he goes before me. Sometimes you just need to switch your language and how you see your situation. Sometimes you label a thing and you might say, okay, well, I don't think that I'm qualified for this thing, but it's not about being qualified, because if you understand the word of God, he doesn't necessarily call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And so you just gotta say yes sometimes. You gotta change the language in which you speak and the way that you see your situation. And I also want to go ahead and keep reading. It says that you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And so, daughter of God, you are pregnant with purpose. You are pregnant with destiny. You are pregnant and you are carrying something great on the inside of you. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel like you have what it takes to birth this next level, but I want to let you know there's somebody who is able and he will walk you through that journey. You will give birth to this next level. You will not stay exactly where you've been. You will not stay the same. Life will not always be what it has been. There's greater days coming. Let's keep going down, okay. Oh, I want to go back to this point right here, because I think that this is a very important thing to say. But it says she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the King David. And so I want to go ahead and just speak to my ladies. And I just want to be your heavenly reminder this morning that your body is a temple of the Most High. Your body is a temple of the Most High. Your body is a temple of the Most High. And with that being said, I want us to be a generation of women who's not afraid to say no to culture, who's not afraid to say no to hookup culture, who's not afraid to say no to meaningless connections, but you will allow God to be your matchmaker. Because when God is in a thing, there's favor on there. There's blessings attached to it, that your union would be blessed, that your children would be blessed, and your children's children, your lineage would be blessed. There is not a time that I've looked in the Bible and God didn't highlight the significance of the lineage. And so this is why it's important for God to be your matchmaker. There's purpose in your union. So let us be a generation of women who remembers that our body is a temple of the Most High God. That was a good one. Okay. And it says, okay. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? How can this happen? A lot of times when we are asking God, God, I want you to change my situation. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go from the next level, because we're called to go from glory to glory to glory. But if we can be honest, sometimes when we're walking by faith, it gets a little dark. And so sometimes we're traveling through the valley. But the thing is, the Bible tells us that we are to walk through the shadows of death. That means that we're not called to that thing. We're not called to stay there, but it's to walk through. And sometimes, if we can be honest, our vision gets a little bit blurry. We don't always know how it's going to happen, but God may have gave you a word over what it is that he wants you to do on this earth, over your position, your call, whatever the case may be. And sometimes we just don't know how it's going to happen. But it's so simple right here, because God always gives a strategy. He doesn't just tell us the problem. He always gives us a strategy to the problem. And he said right here, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And so it is not by your strength, not by your might, but the reason that you're going to get to the next level is because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. No longer will we be just a generation of people who have the appearance of godliness, but we deny the power. And so when we step into the position of what it means to be a daughter of God, we're asking God, we're saying, God, show me. Because if we can be honest, we didn't always have sometimes the best father figure. I have had to rewrite my own story of what it means to actually be a daughter in this season. And before we get to the call and the things that God wants us to do, he wants us to be perfected in being a daughter, so that the power that can work in you. So when God does his greatest work in you, he will then be able to do the work through you. And so sometimes it's just a call to go back inside. It's a call inward, to do private editing. God is more concerned about your character than he is the destination. The destination is slight work to God. He can get you there, but it means nothing if he doesn't develop the fruits and the character within you that's going to sustain you on the next level that you're going. And that's why I love God. He's so patient. He's so gentle. And he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you've been through. He knows the things that you've seen, the things you might have done. And he still says, you, I've called you favored, and the Lord is with you. And so this is a call to private editing. Because if you can be honest, in order for you to get to the next level, you're going to need the presence of God. And then before we go in over to, because I'm going to be reading from two passages in honors of Women's History Month, but I want to go ahead and highlight the fact also in this moment where the Gabriel, the angel, where he talked about Elizabeth being pregnant in her old age. So if we were to continue this story where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, it says that the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I always say one of God's greatest gifts to humanity is community. And you want to get around some people in this season more than anything. You want to get around some people that make your baby leap. I told you you're pregnant with something greater. I told you that you're pregnant with purpose and destiny. And so you want to get around some people that speak to the version of you that you have not yet just come, but they speak life into you. And that's why I said thank you, Reek, for always encouraging me, for being that person that just believes in me and continues to speak next level things into my life. Your community is so important. The people that you surround yourself, they're going to be the thing that's either going to help propel you forward or the thing that's going to keep you stuck in cycles and seasons that God is saying, I called you to greater. And so now I want to go ahead and transition over to Mary and Martha. That is Luke 10. We're going to be pulling from Luke 10, verse 38 through 41. We're going to talk about some of the things that hinder us on this walk with God. Luke 10, verse 38, starting at 38. Okay, it says, Jesus visits Martha and Mary, and Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. You are worried and troubled about many things. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. That's also a really good one. I really like that one because it just goes to show that in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. There will be things that come to distract you. There will be things that come that don't necessarily always feel fair. And we got to know how to switch the focus. One of the biggest things that the enemy does when it comes to God doing a new thing in your life, if the enemy cannot stop you, he will distract you. A lot of times we're worried about many things. A lot of times we're troubled by many things over who walked away, who did not stay, what they said or did not say, over the people who hurt us, mistreated us, abused us, whatever the case may be. A lot of times our mind is cloudy. And so the enemy knows that if he can steal your focus, if he can take your eyes off of Jesus, then he can keep you stuck in cycles and seasons when God is calling you to a season of elevation. Martha was worried about many things, but Mary knew the importance of being at the feet of Jesus. And so I just want to go ahead and be this reminder in this moment. What can you put down in order to develop and get closer to the feet of Jesus? Sometimes we just got to put things down. We're called to lay the weights down. We're called to put aside the sins that set us back. We got to know how to lay some stuff down. We got to know how to be okay when God says that a season is coming to an end and that goodbyes are not necessarily a form of rejection, but goodbye is just you stepping into a new season. And if you truly believe the word of God, then you know that greater is your former than your latter days. And so we don't have to mourn over what was. We have to have the courage and the boldness to say goodbye sometimes so that we can get into the presence of God. When we usually say, I want to look more like Jesus, what we're really saying is, I need more intimacy with the Father. I need to be closer. And sometimes, woman of God, you just need to go into a room, a secret place, close the door, and get alone and pray to your Father who is in heaven. And don't just talk, but also listen. Create intentional stillness. You need strategy for where it is that God wants to take you. And God has strategy. He has the tools. He has the connections and the resources that you need. And all he's asking is for you to sit at the feet of to sit at his feet and to learn from him, to glean from him. If you want to look more like Jesus, then you got to spend time in the presence. Because how many of us know the company we keep, we start talking like them. We start kind of mimicking their behavior. So when we say we want to be more like Jesus, you want more intimacy so that you can be transformed the way that Moses was transformed on the Mount of Sinai. Yeah, so that is my call today. What will you lay down in order to get closer and to build that bond in that relationship with Jesus?